But one of the students was fool enough to ask where the advantage lay.
"My good boy,"
the director wheeled sharply round on him,
"can't you see? Can't you see?"
He raised a hand. His expression was solemn.
"Bokhanovsky's process is one of the major instruments of social stability."
Major instruments of social stability. Standard men and women, in uniform batches. The whole of a small factory staffed with the products of a single Bokhanovskified egg. 96 identical twins working 96 identical machines. The voice was almost tremulous with enthusiasm.
"You really know where you are. For the first time in history,"
he quoted the planetary motto,
"community, identity, stability."
Grand words.
"If we could Bokhanovskify indefinitely, the whole problem would be solved."
Solved by standard gammas, unvarying deltas, uniform epsilons. Millions of identical twins. The principle of mass production at last applied to biology.
"But alas," the director shook his head, "we can't Bokhanovskify indefinitely."
96 seemed to be the limit. 72 a good average. From the same ovary, and with gametes of the same male, to manufacture as many batches of identical twins as possible. That was the best, sadly a second best, that they could do. And even that was difficult.
"For in nature it takes 30 years for 200 eggs to reach maturity. But our business is to stabilize the population at this moment, here and now. Dribbling out twins over a quarter of a century, what would be the use of that?"
Obviously, no use at all. But Podsnap's technique had immensely accelerated the process of ripening. They could make sure of at least 150 mature eggs within 2 years. Fertilize and Bokhanovskify. In other words, multiply by 72, and you get an average of nearly 11,000 brothers and sisters in 150 batches of identical twins, all within 2 years of the same age.
"And in exceptional cases, we can make one ovary yield us over 15,000 adult individuals."
Beckoning to a fair-haired, ruddy young man who happened to be passing at the moment,
"Mr. Foster,"
he called. The ruddy young man approached.
"Can you tell us the record for a single ovary, Mr. Foster?"
16,012 in this center," Mr. Foster replied without hesitation. He spoke very quickly, had a vivacious blue eye, and took an evident pleasure in quoting figures. 16,012 in 189 batches of identicals. "But of course they've done much better," he rattled on, "in some of the tropical centres. Singapore has often produced over 16,500, and Mombasa has actually touched the 17,000 mark. But then they have unfair advantages. You should see the way a Negro ovary responds to pituitary. It's quite astonishing when you are used to working with European material. Still," he added with a laugh, but the light of combat was in his eyes and the lift of his chin was challenging, "still, we mean to beat them if we can. I'm working on a wonderful Delta Minus ovary at this moment, only just 18 months old. Over 12,700 children already, either decanted or in embryo, and still going strong. We'll beat them yet."
"That's the spirit I like,"
cried the director, and clapped Mr. Foster on the shoulder.
"Come along with us and give these boys the benefit of your expert knowledge."
Mr. Foster smiled modestly.
"With pleasure."
They went. In the bottling room, all was harmonious bustle and ordered activity. Flaps of fresh sow's peritoneum, ready cut to the proper size, came shooting up in little lifts from the organ store in the sub-basement. Whiz and then click, the lift hatches flew open. The bottle liner had only to reach out a hand, take the flap, insert, smooth down, and before the lined bottle had time to travel out of reach along the endless band, whiz, click, another flap of peritoneum had shot up from the depths, ready to be slipped into yet another bottle, the next of that slow, interminable procession on the band.